1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm bound to upset somebody today because no matter which side of the aisle you fall on this subject, when you read the Bible, it just messes up your theology. And so people pick and choose verses all the time. This is why we go through a book, because when you go through a book, you're forced to face it as it comes. So I'll just have to ask you to, if the shoe fits, wear it, and we'll work from there. I did get to see for the first time, I never thought I'd see it because I didn't grow up in the Old West, I got to see a bank robbery this week. Anybody ever been a part of a bank robbery? It was really weird. It was actually an octopus that did the robbery. And somebody asked me if he had a gun, and I said nobody was well armed. I had shingles, for goodness sake. All right, I'm going to do a little ranting, and then we'll get into the text. Okay, so I want you to understand something that we know subconsciously, but I don't think we process it a lot. There's only two positions if you're a human being. You are either a part of the body of Christ, literally, or you are not. It doesn't matter. Well, I go to church. I didn't ask if you went to church. Well, I'm a deacon. Didn't ask if you were a deacon. Well, my grandma built the building. I didn't ask you about your grandma. Either you are a part of the body of Christ, you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've repented, you've been baptized, you're following Christ, or you're not a part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, I learned a long time ago, and you may not believe this because I'm pretty hard on people sometimes, but I have learned that you don't have to be my identical twin to be my brother or sister in Christ. But there are two things that are non-negotiable. The Bible is the authoritative word of God, and Jesus Christ is the Savior and Lord and the only way to heaven. Now, the rest of it we may disagree on, but if we can agree on those two things, we may not even agree on every scripture, but those are non-essentials. And if you're a part of the body of Christ, that's two things that you've got to have. But this explains why culturally we have some of the things going on that we have. For instance, I don't know how many of you watched The Big Bang Theory. I know it's not a good show. It's not a wholesome show in any means. It is funny. And the people in it are funny. The entire show is anti-Christian. It was written to be anti-Christian. The theme song is anti-Christian. It's all run by atheists. And the real purpose of the show, besides comedy, is to make fun of the church. And young Sheldon, this last week, if you saw the last episode, it was a mockery of the church, a mockery of baptism. Sheldon ends up getting baptized because his mom wants him to, and he comes out in church in a frogman suit and a snorkel, and it's just a full-on mockery of Christianity, okay? And remember, because you're either a part of the body of Christ or you're not. And there's not a middle ground. You're like, why would they be so aggressive against Christianity? The answer is because Satan hates you. That's how it works. Our job is to love people so that they find Christ. How about this one? Harrison Butker, kicker from the Chiefs. He goes and speaks at a Catholic graduation and says radical things like God's great, the Bible's wonderful, husbands and wives are a good thing, and I think having children's nice. And he gets slaughtered by the media. They want to throw him out of the NFL. Now, this is the same NFL that 2 weeks ago, the Kelce brothers, who spent 10 years to graduate college, got up on stage and during their college graduation, guzzled beers on stage, and the NFL had nothing to say. But they said of Harrison Butker's horrible speech that the NFL could not support that because they are inclusive. Apparently, inclusive does not include the body of Christ. You see, the world tells you every day there's two sides. And you and I want to make sure that we're on the right side, that we are in the body of Christ's side. Because see, Jesus is not here in the flesh. When Jesus left, he said, I leave you to finish what I started. All right? Because Jesus Well, he is everywhere, but he couldn't be physically everywhere. So he said, I got you guys, and you got to take care of your neighbors and your seniors and your friends and your churches, and you and I have to take care of the needs around. We have to be Jesus. That's what the body of Christ does. We have to be Jesus for those around us. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the spiritual gifts that God's given to each one of us who are a part of this body. If you'll stand out of respect for the word of God. Long passage, but you need it all. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. This is all of us. And again, doesn't mean Tomoka Christian Church. It means the body of Christ. There are people who are part of the body of Christ in every group, and there's people in churches all over the world that are not a part of the body of Christ. Only you and Jesus know that. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. Now, pay attention, all right, because this is where bad teaching kicks in. People will quote this verse and they'll see, look, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and then they'll want to say something like sexuality, whoever you love. No, it doesn't say that. And you'll notice it doesn't say anything about race, slave or free, Jew or Greek, because there's only one race. We're different shades, but there's only one race, the human race. Okay? All right. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, and it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. That word means people who are sent. That would be Sarah and Kevins, the sent ones. Second, prophets, those who speak for God. Third, teachers, those who explain in classrooms. Then, workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those with speaking in different kinds of languages. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in other languages? No. Do all interpret? No. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. You can be seated. And he's talking there, that last phrase, that leads into chapter 13, which we'll get to next week. And in chapter 13, he talks about the most excellent way. We use it at weddings, but love is faithful, love is kind, love doesn't keep records of wrong. And ultimately, he says, the greatest of these, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. So we'll get to all that next week. But as recently as last week, I got a comment from a friend who said, you are You don't have the Holy Spirit because you don't speak in tongues. Now, I've been listening to this all my life, and first of all, did you read chapter 12? That is not a high-profile gift. It's listed after administration, all right? But he specifically says, does everybody have this gift? And it's implied, no. God gives gifts to who he wants, but let me explain. The word that is used there is languages. I have a friend, Jeff Reed. Jeff, we supported Jeff, well, I don't know, probably 35 years we've been supporting Jeff Reed. He was in the Congo, he was in Zaire, he's in Tanzania now, he works in Zanzibar. When Jeff was in college, Jeff's a redneck from Illinois, and Jeff knew English, Greek, Hebrew. He went and learned Swahili, he learned national languages. He knew when they were talking about him underneath the tree. The guy had a gift. That's a gift of tongues, a gift of languages. Now, what passes today, and Paul uses that word later, we'll get to this in chapter 14, there is a prayer language, and then there's another time when he uses just the word gibberish, a very interesting term. But the point was God gifted certain people with languages so that the gospel could go around the world. And for some reason, in the 19th and 20th century, some people took that one thing and blew it up and said, if you have this gift, you're special, and the rest of you aren't. And so a guy stands on stage and says, send me money, and I will show you that I am so much more spiritual than you. Listen, if you have the gift of healing, go down and empty out that hospital. The only people going to be mad at you are the administration at the hospital. Everybody else is going to rejoice. Don't tell me the only way you can heal somebody is if they're on stage giving you money. I don't think that's how God works. Now, what does he say? He says that each one of us has different gifts. We're all a part of the body. So don't let anybody put you down. Well, I have the gift of administration. Praise God. Somebody's got to keep the ship on course. I have the gift of teaching. That's awesome. I have the gift of prayer. Great. I have the gift of singing. You don't know how blessed you are that I didn't come out here and lead worship. You have no idea. God has gifted us in different ways. I think we all know that. But we have let false teachers try to say that this gift is more important than that gift. And Paul just spent an entire chapter telling you that's not the case. Is the ear less important than the hand? Is the hand more important than the mouth? And he goes through the whole thing, but he says we're all a part of what? One body. And when the whole body works together, we got everything we need. I almost quit going on mission trips. You might think this is weird because we do this so much. I think we have 60 teams going out this year. Jeannie Davis is doing an incredible job. Some of them are local. Some of them are in Gainesville. Some of them are around the world. The reason is every time I go on a mission trip, they'd be like, all right, we're gonna put shingles on this roof. We're going to build this building. And as my oldest daughter, Leah, has often said, the only thing my dad can build is a sandwich. And she's pretty much right. And I'm like, literally, I almost quit going. And then I realized, no, I'm just not doing this right. Yeah, there are times when we send teams who can build. We just sent one to Oklahoma. We just had a medical team get back from Brazil, doctors and nurses. They didn't need me down there. They need doctors and nurses. But you know what I can do? I can teach people how to preach. I can teach pastors how to grow a church. I can teach them how to develop leadership in their church. There are things that I am gifted to do. There are things that you are gifted to do. And instead of saying, well, I wish I had that gift. You see, if it's a gift, think about this. Now, these churches offer classes to teach you how to have these gifts. When I got up on Christmas morning, I got what Mom and Dad got me under the tree. We didn't have a class about how to get gifts. If I have a gift, in fact, I dare say Every one of you knows what your gift is. I know we offer tests, and we'll be happy to give you a spiritual gifts test if you want one. But I can sit down with you in 5 minutes. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you do. Tell me your passion, and I'll tell you what your gifts are. All right? It's really not that hard to figure out what your gift. I'm a teacher. I'm a giver. I'm a prayer. I love kids. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about being in Florida. We're advertising a few years ago for a youth pastor. And we got a resume from a guy, literally. And it's one thing to be this dumb, but to write it, he said, listen, I hate kids, but I'd love to move to Florida. I mean, it saves you time with the rest of the resume, you know what I mean? But you have to work within your gifting. But when everybody works inside their gifting, it is amazing what gets done. And Tomoka, you guys are an example of all that can get done, that a church can get planted in every country in the world, that we can have a church plant in every state, that we can be changing Florida, that we can be doing all that we're doing because everybody says, you know what, I could do this, I can help with this, I got three of these. And when everybody brings it together, the body of Christ can do incredible things. So you and I have got to find our spot and quit whining about the gifts you don't have and use the gift God gave you. I like what Viktor Frankl said. He was a Holocaust survivor, wrote some incredible books, but he said, when a man can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. Let me help you here. You live in a culture where people don't have a purpose, they don't have a meaning. They've been told they're just products of evolution. They have no purpose for being here. So people make up reasons, whether it's the environment, whether it's climate, or maybe we hide inside of a bottle or inside of drugs or, dare I say this next one, sports. Anything to distract ourselves from the fact that we don't have meaning. But the only way you find meaning in your life is when you use the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And I like how General Patton said it. And you have this image of Patton, and I understand he spoke in a high, squeaky voice, and I can't imagine that. But he said, a good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people about Jesus, and they'll say, yes, I need to accept Jesus. When? When would be a good time? Now? We need to help. Well, when? Yeah, our church does need to get involved with missions. When? Maybe when things get worse in Haiti. Maybe that's when I'll help. No, now is the answer. Today at 6:00 up at Tom Rennick Park, we have our beach baptisms. And this is for you, friends, family, anybody who's accepted Christ, ready to accept Christ, ready to be baptized. This is the beginning point of your faith. 6:00 up at Tom Rennick. It is an incredible moment. You've already seen some pictures of those past events. But there comes a time when you have to take action. God has gifted me, and for 30 years, I've used the gifts for myself when the purpose of the gifts are for God. Here's how Peter says it. He's talking to you and me, a church. He says, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a people who belong to God. What's our purpose? That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So what is my job? To declare the praises of God through the gifts and talents and abilities that he's given me, I am to use those to help other people see how wonderful Jesus is and to help them find salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, the last part, all right? As we take a look at that last verse, he says, seek the greater gifts. Now, here's where we get in trouble, because preachers are notorious at cherry-picking scriptures. And you hear preachers, this will be their text. They won't read that chapter that I just read to you. They will read the last verse. Seek the greater gifts, And then they'll go on an hour tirade about how the greater gifts are speaking in tongues and healing and all of this mystical, magical stuff. But Paul just spent a whole chapter telling you that's not true. And the whole next chapter tells you that the greater gifts are faith, hope, and love. But if you cherry pick a verse, you can make it say just about anything you want it to say. So what does it mean to seek the higher gifts? It means what I really want is to be like Christ. Isn't that the goal? If I am a part of the body of Christ, let's say I'm the fingernail, all right? If I'm the fingernail, I want to be the best fingernail God's got. Does that make sense? I want to seek to be the very best. I'm only got 10 bucks, God, but I'm going to be the best 10-buck Christian you've ever had. See, in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, it tells the story. He gave one guy one talent, one guy two, one guy five. He comes back, and the guy with five had 10. The guy with two had turned his into four, and the guy with one had buried his in the ground. And he comes back and gives it to him. He said, I know you're a hard, demanding master, and so I brought it back. And Jesus said, you wicked, wicked servant. Wow. He said, you could have at least given it to the banker to make some interest. You buried it in the ground? And Jesus took that away from him and gave it to the guy who had 10. Why? Because the guy that had 10 was using his gifts. It's not about what gift you have, it's about using what God has given you. And when you and I bring it together, when everybody in the church says, yeah, I'm gonna use what God's given me, I'll tell you what, I think any church could take the world. I think any church could take a city. If we decided we're really gonna do it, we're gonna live it, we're gonna give it, we're gonna be Christians, we're gonna invite, we're gonna talk, we are going to be the best what we can be, my part of the body of Christ. I'm gonna live that out. If that happened across the board, we'd change this city. We'd change our state. Eventually, we would change the whole world. Well, guess what? That's the point. It's exactly the point. Let's go back where we started. The name of the show is called The Big Bang Theory. But it's never taught as a theory. It's taught as an ironclad atheism is right, Christianity is a joke, and the Bible is a fairy tale. Now, I would tell you the Big Bang Theory is indeed a theory. It's a bad theory, and it's a fairy tale, and you and I are holding a book of facts. You and I get to choose which one of those is right. Father, I thank you for the gifting that you've given us. I have no idea who's ready to accept you. I have no idea who's not been using their gifts. I don't know what you want to do with people watching online or in Bunnell or DeLand or even in front of me. But I know you said your word will never come back empty. So, Father, would you bring it home today to each one of us individually? Lord, help us to be the best part of the body we can. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.